So for those of you who are my age or older, you probably remember Ernestine, the telephone operator. She was a character created by Lily Tomlin, who originated on the comedy sketch Laugh-In. And the exact timing was about 1968, but I was born in 68 and I still remember Ernestine, so she was probably still going in the 70s. I remember she was sarcastic and she was nasal and she had the little squitchy face and she would count the rings. Remember what she'd say? One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. And then she would say a gracious good morning to you before launching into some sort of verbal assault. And sometimes she would say, is this the person to whom I am speaking? Which is clever.
Half a ringy dingy. Oh, I just love those. Another ringy dingy. A gracious hello. Is this the electric company? Good. This is Miss Tomlin of the telephone company. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but your bill is way past due. And unless you, as we say in the trade, fork up, we're going to have to discontinue your service. Now, what do you have to say to that?
Hello? You gotta love Ernestine. And she is so strong in my memory because my mother was a Bell-Tel operator, as they called them back then. And she would impersonate Ernestine frequently when she was at home. So I kind of grew up with Ernestine. She'd make a phone call, and we had this long curly cord on our hall phone, so she could wander from room to room, and the cord would stretch and sometimes get tangled around the kitchen chairs. So she would make a call, and I always knew when somebody answered because she would say one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. Oh, a gracious hello to you. Is this the person to whom I'm speaking? And of course, being young, I didn't understand the semantics of that particular sentence. So I would say, Mom, of course this is the person to whom you are speaking. Who else would it be? I was really fascinated by my mom's work. She was one of the actual old-fashioned telephone operators. She did the switchboard. And it was interesting to me because she actually connected people. So back then, back in the day, and I'm preaching to the choir for some of you, but there's some of you who this may be new to. Back in the day, a person would call 0 for operator, and they would get the switchboard operator. And they would tell her who they wanted to connect to, and then the operator would take the cord and connect them to that person, take the cord and actually make a connection. And then they could have a two-way conversation because the cord was connected. The conversation couldn't happen without connecting the cord. Now, the operator would be there, of course, but the two would not be connected until that connection was made. There were also, right around that time, party lines. And I'm not talking about the political ones. Party lines, several families actually shared a phone line. So sometimes you'd pick up the phone and you'd hear a conversation going because another family was using the line. So getting through to the person that you really wanted to talk to, you had to jump through a lot of hoops. It was tricky. And sometimes there was also static on the line, and you'd have to let the operator know that you had a bad connection. And it was really hard to hear the other person, or even make sure you had the right person with all the party lines and people who could be connected. So the bad connection could be caused by several things. It could be the weather. It could be a bad curly cord between the phone itself and the receiver. Could be electrical interference. Could be a loose or damaged wire on the operator's end. Could be a lot of things. And when this happened, it required patience and a little bit of troubleshooting. Now, even now, we still deal with the occasional dropped call, right? Or bad connection, even though we're in the technology age of cell phones. And sometimes we really have to strain to hear the other person. This was happening to me when I first got my phone. I really had to strain. And then my daughter, who was 9 at the time, showed me there's a little button that you can turn the volume up. So it's difficult at times to connect and to hear. And sometimes there's also not being able to get through because, oh, I left my phone in the other room, or I had it shut off, or it went right to voicemail. To have perfect communication with the person to whom we are speaking requires us to have the connections perfectly established. And besides that, we have to have limited distractions, don't we? Distractions also add a severing of communications. And those distractions are caused by several things, right? Maybe it's the dog barking. Maybe the neighbor's radio is too loud. Maybe your kid is saying, "Mom, Mom, 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 Mom." And those distractions are caused by the busyness in our lives or by our own busy brains. For instance, have you ever gone into a room? Raise your hand if this has never happened to you. Have you ever gone into a room to get something and you get there and you forget what it was that you were going in there for? Has anybody ever not had that happen? It's not hard to let our minds wander and get off track. Something else like hijacks our thoughts. We're on our way, we have the thing in mind, and then our mind just kind of wanders off into something else, and we're thinking of something else, and we get there and we've forgotten. My mom used to say, the train has left the track. I later learned that this focus of attention is a very, very difficult practice known as intentionality. Intentionality, keeping focus, being completely intentional about what you are doing or saying, being completely present in the moment. And it is a practice. It actually requires effort. And God wants that for us. When we have that connection with God, God wants our complete attention. When we have interference on the line, I guarantee you 100% that it is because it is something on our end of the line. And we need to troubleshoot. We need to figure it out. What is causing the problem in the connection? Now, it's important to take into account that a conversation with God is not a one-way conversation. And that's easy to forget. We pray and we talk and we say, God, we need or we want or we thank you or whatever it is, and we talk and talk and talk and talk, and we forget that it is a two-way conversation. It is a connection with God, not just us shooting words at God. And I need to constantly remind myself of this. Both parties listen. Both parties speak. And in order to hear the other person, we have to stop talking long enough to hear them. Without interference, that's how we are able to hear the voice of the other, in this instance, God. Now, maybe Martha was a really good multitasker. Very possible. Maybe she could clean and listen to Jesus at the same time, right? Maybe Jesus could have said in our scripture, Mary, go help your sister. After all, being busy is better than not being busy. Go help her. But our scripture tells us that from Jesus' own lips, he says, Martha, you are worried about many things. Many things. And then he goes on to say, few things are needed. So we compare many things to few things. So if he's saying few things are needed, that tells me that the rest of the stuff is not needed. Jesus doesn't find it important. They're not needed. And then he goes on to say, okay, even of the few things, only one is really needed. So now we have to think about what that one thing is. Is that one thing making sure the dishes are washed? Is that one thing the important thing? What is the one thing that is needed? And then, so there's two ladies in the room, and he makes the distinction, and he says, Mary has chosen what is better. So Martha's busying herself. She's scurrying around. And you know what? The dirty dishes will be there later, right? They always are. It's a never-ending cycle. But Mary has chosen to give her full attention to Jesus and to listen to what he is saying and to sit with him. And yes, I'm sure, you know, Mary's not stupid. She can see that there's housework that needs to be done. She can see that her sister is upset. She can see all these things, but she chooses the more important. And then he goes on to say, and it will not be taken away from her. Presence with our Lord and Savior. Being in God's presence is life-giving, and it can never be taken away from us. More than anything at all, Jesus wants a deep relationship with us. And so many things get in the way of our communication with God. Just like Martha, she's worried about many things. We worry about many things, don't we? When just one is truly important. All these things mess with our line of communication with God. We have within us, custom designed by God, a yearning, a need to be made whole. Because we live in a broken world, we are unsatisfied. We scour the world to fill that yearning with other things, which sometimes fill the gap, you know, for a little while, but they're not eternal. And those things don't sustain us. And some of us fill that void with stuff. Some of us fill it with bad habits. Some of us fill it with being busy, which all of those things really are an excuse. They're an easy way out of not having to deal with the hard stuff of being silent and listening to what God would say to us, because maybe we don't want to hear it. Or to work on our own stuff so that we can be whole. The self-reflection is not an easy task, is it? This is tough. It's a tough thing to face. We don't want to deal with the uncomfortable, quiet gap where God can tell us what we need to hear. God does not ask us. God tells us. God commands us to take time to be holy. He does not say take time to be busy. He says take time to be holy. Be still and know that I am God. Work on that spiritual connection. We have to fill ourselves with God's unfailing love. That's what sustains us. That's the food. That's our nourishment. We are commanded to put God first. Yes, above cleaning. Yes, above busyness. And yes, above all the things that we feel we should or could or would rather be doing. Are those things as important as sitting at the feet of Jesus? When we practice being still in God's presence and focus on the present moment, and again, it really is a practice, and it's hard because of the way our brains work. It's difficult because as we practice presence, we have to shut off our thinking of the future, you know, what we need to do, our constant to-do list. The things about our past, oh, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, I should have done something else. If I could redo it, I would do it this way. But to shut that off and be in that perfect place with that perfect connection to Jesus, that's the perfect place. And the holy starts to become very clear. It's not easy. This past week, I got one of the two pair of glasses that I ordered. I had an eye exam, and of course, I'm not wearing them because I'm not used to carrying them around. This is a very new thing for me. I didn't feel good most of the week. I felt like I had the flu, like dizzy, like nauseous, like headachey, like icky, and my eyes hurt. They literally hurt. Those of you who have dealt with glasses probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And I said to Tressie, is this a glasses thing that I feel this way? And she said, yes, since she has glasses. She said, yes, you're transitioning to a new prescription, or in my case, first-time glasses. And it'll be an adjustment as your eyes and mind kind of get used to it, and they adjust. The problem I noticed was that I could see so clearly that my mind wasn't processing well, and it was causing me actual physical pain. The fact that I was seeing so well. Sometimes that happens in our time with God. God puts something really into focus for us. And it's tempting, like this morning, I walked out the door without my glasses because I'd really rather not wear them because of what it does. But I know that after time, they're going to be really good for me. I'll get there. So do we have that problem with God sometimes, with that part of the connection? We think we're in communication with God, but we don't realize sometimes that we're distracted or filled with line interference. Have you ever prayed like I have prayed from time to time, where you know you should be praying, you're saying, Our Father who art in heaven, did I shut the oven off? I need to get bread and milk, and oh man, I forgot to call my dad. And in heaven, amen. It's so easy to let that train go off the track. Mary had a clear communication with Jesus. She spoke. She listened. She basked. She knew to whom she was speaking. And she models that clear communication for us today. Amen.